profession.
From a chartered accountant, we are looking at a person who is supposed to be high performing, forward thinking, professional, who can be relied on. CASA should be a highly respected professional with deep financial expertise and broad business insight. A chartered accountant should be able to lead at the highest level of business, as CEOs, financial directors, board directors, business owners, strategic senior management.
I will be discussing becoming a professional accountant SA. So in this route, you finished your university and you want to start on the first phase of your career. Where to from here? There are three steps to qualify to become a professional accountant SA. Academic, that's one. Number two is register as a trainee. And number three, you write your PE assessment.
So the first thing here after my high school is that you apply to study BCom accounting or an equivalent degree at a SAICA accredited university. If you are studying full-time, then it means that you need to complete all your qualifications. It must actually take you 4 years at a minimum. That is 3 years of the bachelor's qualification and then an additional year to complete what they call PGDA, which is postgraduate diploma in accounting.
Academic requirement, the point number one. You must hold a bachelor's of commerce degree or equivalent with the following requirement course subject from SAICA accredited tertiary institutions. You qualify to register as a trainee member with SAICA. The bachelor's degree that you must do must include the following subject: financial accounting 3, taxation 1, auditing 1, internal auditing 2, internal control and code of ethics. Corporate Law 1 and Commercial Law 2 and Management Accounting. To register as a trainee, once you've completed your degree, you will need to obtain practical experience by completing a 3-year learnership with SAICA accredited training centers, completing a learnership of any other professional body. Professional Evaluation Assessment. This is the exams that you're going to write once you've completed your degree and also completed your training. You will be required to write a SAICA professional evaluation.
If you'd like to watch the full video, you can find it on YouTube and Facebook by following the links on screen now. For more information about...
On April 27, 1994, the first democratic election was held in South Africa. It marked the end of more than 300 years of colonialism, segregation, and white minority rule. During most of the period of apartheid, only white people could vote. In 1984, coloreds and Indians were given limited rights to vote. The 1994 election was the first time black people could vote. In that election, 22 million people voted, and 19 political parties participated. While there were threats of political violence, the election took place peacefully. The African National Congress won the election with 62.65% of the vote. This marked the start of a new era, with a government led by a black president for the first time, Nelson Mandela.
I cherish the idea of a new South Africa, where all South Africans are equal.
April 27 is commemorated to also remind South Africans that while political freedom was achieved in 1994, we need to continue to strive to be fully liberated from issues like poverty, unemployment, racism and sexism.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Morolong Moratiwa, and I will be your host today with Youth Evolve and our discussion, Free to Dominate. I'm joined today by Dumelang Mulia and Theophilus Afrotist. Could you guys please introduce yourselves and while you're there, just discuss maybe some of the things that you've done in the past and your contributions. And as a wise man once said, always be plugging. Please do drop your social medias and where people can find you.
Hello, can everyone hear me?
Yeah, I missed the guest there. We're also joined by Tobani. Say hello, everyone.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Oh, seems like Dumelang got disconnected there. Why don't the rest of you just introduce yourselves? Hello?
Okay, I'll go. Hi, everyone. I am Theophilus Effortist. I am the founder and the spiritual director of Neo Healing Institute. And that is the platform through which I facilitate retreats, workshops, and etc. I am a life coach, a certified and licensed life coach. I am an author. I am a facilitator. And I work with young people who have the desire to uplevel their lives in whatever way or form that is. And what I do is when I work with them, I work with them internally so that their external lives reflect a powerful and inspired reality. So that's what I do as a coach. And hi, can everyone hear me?
Yes, yes. We can still hear you loud and clear.
Okay, amazing. Yes, and so that's what I do as a coach. I work with young people, usually between the ages of 20 to 30, 35. And yeah, I just coach them on how to get to where they want to get. But what I do is I work with them internally so that they're able to, you know, to approach or get what they want to get in their external lives. So what I've done in the past is, so through Neo Healing Institute, I've facilitated retreats, healing retreats, spiritual retreats, and I've worked with organizations and companies that want to, most of the time, take their teams or employees on a retreat so that they come back in the real world equipped and with their cups full so that they can be productive in whatever field that they're in. So that's what I do. I help you fill your cup. And yeah, I think that's just about me in a nutshell. Thank you.
All right. Tawani, would you like to go? Mind introducing yourself?
No problem. Good afternoon, everyone. Am I audible on your side?
Yes, though your volume is a bit low. Is there any way to get closer to the mic there?
I'm as close as I possibly can, but I will try to check on the settings as well. Do inform me if there are any changes.
Will do.
No problem. So good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tobani Mvega. I am currently serving as the Secretary General for Youth Evolve. I am part of multiple other youth engagement organizations. And on most parts, it is my endeared efforts to make sure that I am part of such platforms. And it is a privilege to be on this platform today. And it is my immense honor to address such a youth or a young audience and addressing such an incredible topic of the future of Africa and the vital role of hope in our collective journey, which is all surrounded by the idea of freedom. Thanks, Marilyn.
All right, guys, it is a pleasure to have you on. Now, the title of this session is Free to Dominate. We celebrated a week ago the first democratic election that this country ever held. Now, that's a big step. That is a milestone. It's the 29th anniversary thereof. Ooh, realizing that us 94s are starting to get old. We're turning 30 next year, guys. We're getting old. In those 29 years, we've seen a lot of freedoms and liberties granted to all South Africans. And it is important that us as youth not only acknowledge this, but acknowledge what those freedoms grant us in terms of opportunities. So in Free to Dominate, I was hoping that we could discuss the opportunity to dominate that this freedom comes with, the spaces that we have the freedom to now go into and the opportunities that we have the chance to seize. Now, I remember that you had some thoughts on this, Tawani, if you'd like to take it away.
Yes, thanks for the floor again, Chair. So basically, For Freedom Day, or what freedom means to us in South Africa, I would like us to go back a little bit and touch on what is Freedom Day. So Freedom Day in South Africa is marked as that day where we had the release of Nelson Mandela from prison, which is the 27th of April, 1994. The back end of this day is the fight for freedom against oppression in South Africa, as we had seen in the introductory video. And by gaining democratic rights, we saw the creation of multiple political factions, which then can be associated with leaders of the country and the people being the voice to choose which of their leaders to follow. And the youth involvement was also part of the struggle, which is symbolic to June 16th. And Freedom Day is symbolic to the 27th of April, 1994. And through all of this, we reach the birth of our democracy. And the birth of the democracy is demarcated as the right to vote. And people usually use it as a voice for the people to determine the leadership of the country and the direction of which the country is going. This also comes along with human rights and the constitution that we fall under, which then is the earmarking of equal treatment and the removal of segregation in society. So the perception that we have for freedom today is that, I would quickly just move to the reality of what freedom is in modern day society. Freedom Day was then the release of barriers for those that came before us. So this is in relation to our youth for today. It's the parents of the youth that were in barriers before this generation. So this was significant to those people who lived under oppression. And the Freedom Day was a transfer of power to lead the country from one group of people to another group of people through an invisible medium. So through this change, we must also clearly understand that as the youth of today, is that this was not a freedom of opportunity, not for the outcomes of the freedom. So in Nelson Mandela's words, freedom is a right, not a privilege. When does this leave us as the South African youth? It then shows us that as the South African youth, we are falling behind because we are caught between the freedom of the past and the freedom of the future. The freedom of the past was a freedom struggle for the opportunities that we have today. And the freedom of the future is going to be utilizing the opportunities that are in abundance in society to create a world or an Africa that we see or deem more favorable for the struggle that was fought before the freedom was attained. In every turn, as looking at the youth through engagement, we see that as the youth, we exhibit a dependency on the government, and sometimes we blame our government for our own lack. So what is the government in this barrier? The government is sort of a middleman or intermediary. It is the go-between between the rich and the poor. Our lack of knowledge as the youth and information has resulted in the shift from seizing opportunities attained through the freedom struggle and expecting handouts from the government and other entities. As young South Africans, we are caught between the freedom of the past versus the freedom of the poor, which is then two different concepts if you analyze the fundamentals of the two. Freedom of opportunity was received in 1994, and that opportunity was allowing us to be associated or being integrated into society amongst other groups within the society. So that opportunity to sit in class was received in 1994. Now we must use that opportunity to gain that freedom for the future, which will then open up a world of multiple opportunities in our grasp. So now that freedom, we will seek that freedom through the driven means of ownership, association, and devoid of constraints, and that we can only attain through collective efforts and an innovative independent partnership and agreement. So these agreements or independent partnerships that we are building independent of the government and the new colonial systems that control African countries and governments. So as young people, we must create our means of engaging. So in the institutions that we are a part of, we need to then use those resources to institutionalize multilateral systems of youth inclusivity and youth collaboration. So non-government organizations are a starting point in getting youth involved and youth leaders. Community-based organizations are also an underutilized means of community engagement and youth development. So in essence, a collective effort to build local communities will attract opportunities that will also provide evidence-based information for youth engagement. So most young people are filled with the visions of being millionaires due to the social influences and the advancement of media. It is far more attainable as young people with the experience that I've had engaging with you that we can build a society or a community of young leaders that is more focused on uplifting all parts of society rather than trying to be the rich amongst the poor. In a system propagated by greed, most millionaires will abandon their communities to inhabit a world built by bank balances. So it is true. Therefore the reason why freedom of opportunity should be used to change the status quo and look deep into local communities. And by looking into local communities, you find assistance for growing small scale to into bigger spaces. With good reach and persistent engagement of youth on the physical and technological level, any organization can become national or international in mandate. For those of us in the job seeking market, a high salary demand is limited by the number of seats in supply. Therefore, it is imperative to look for opportunities in a wide variety at your disposal. Any opportunity that is available is a building stone, regardless of its size. The private sector is limited in size and opportunities are scarce. The government sector is wide, but opportunities are limited and rotational as it caters for a variety of demographics. It is thus by natural selection that we look outside of the private and government sectors where opportunity is vast and resources are unlimited. A private company is limited by funds to scale the continent. A government entity is limited by the borders of the country. NGOs and NPOs are scalable to reach the other side of the world. So let the government do its job and play the intermediary regardless of the misunderstood perception in the public arena, and become the youth that will seek its assistance for innovative means that will be enabling the African youth. The African youth in this regard being a reference to the continent. So in closing, I would like to refer to the African Continental Free Trade Area, or the AFCFTA, which is a flagship project for the African Union designated to create a single market on the continent. So this will be free of barriers to entry for any African community. What this means to those of us embarking in trade and business endeavors is that we can therefore buy and sell to any African country markets without the burden of tariffs and tax implications. The same protocol can therefore be transferred onto any other sector of the intercontinental or intracontinental agreement. Youth inclusivity is one of the key focus areas on intracontinental engagement. Therefore, this is the measuring stick of our opportunistic reach as a youth demographic, where freedom of association without barriers of citizenship constrict us as a continent. As a continent, we seek freedom of visas and tariffs in association with one another. We are not divided by colonies, and as a country, we should strive to work outside from the mainstream system, where the unlimited opportunities and resources await our rise. That time has come for us to rise from our ashes of our past and the chaos that has too often defined our story as Africans. We must come together, united by hope, to build a future that we can all be proud of, regardless of country. Our destiny is in our hands, and it is our responsibility to grasp it firmly and steer our continent towards greatness. Let us embrace the power of hope as a youth, for it is in the hope that we will find the strength and determination to transfer and transform the African continent into the vibrant, prosperous, and thriving continent it deserves to be. And to the fellow young people that we are part of in society, I say that we are the architects of our future, and our dreams will shape the world we live in. So be fearless in your pursuit of change and unyield in your quest for progress. Carry the torch of high hope and let its light guide you towards a brighter tomorrow. Together, we can rise from the ashes and create an Africa that stands as a shining example to the world. So let us believe in the power of hope and let it fuel our journey towards a future that is truly ours to claim. Thank you.
Honestly, thank you. That was amazing. That was amazing. Very powerful words. Very powerful words. Very inspiring. That we should maintain the hope. And that even though we have achieved legal freedom, there is still much work to be done. Especially as the youth. Now, over to Theophilus Afrotiste. Would you like to go?
Yeah, sure. Do you want me to open my camera or am I fine like this?
I think the audience would like to see your face.
Okay. Okay, no problem. Hello once again to everybody. I'm Theophilus Afrotiste. And yeah, so what freedom means to me, you know, everything that I just forgot Tobani said was spot on. And especially when he said that there's more work that still needs to be done. There is more work that needs to be done. Because for me personally, freedom is a holistic experience, right? So if you say that we're free externally with all the things that we see on a physical level, but internally we're not, then we're not really free. So what does freedom mean to me personally? Freedom to me is a state of mind and being where you're the most authentic and powerful person that you can ever be in your life in that moment, without any restrictions and limitations placed on you by any social, political, and colonial pressures and systems. And right now, in today's time, there's still a lot of restrictions and limitations that are placed on us as young people, whether socially, whether politically or colonially, we still have a lot of pressures and systems that and restrictions that are placed on us by these things, right? So we're not really free. Another meaning that I'd like to put to the word freedom is when you're not living in fear. Right now, a lot of young people live in fear. A lot of queer people live in fear, for example, in Africa, right? Because there's a lot of African countries where just being queer is illegal, right? Just who you are. Remember my first definition of freedom was the ability to not the a state of mind and being where you're the most authentic and powerful self. And you cannot be authentic and powerful if you're not yourself, right? So if you're in the constant state of love, so I'm bringing in another whole different perspective to what freedom is, right? Because I think a lot of the things that have been said are about, you know, political systems but now I'm bringing in a spiritual perspective to this conversation that we're having, because that is important, because everything that we see in the world today is spiritual. All the chaos in the parliament, all the chaos in the world, that is a manifestation of what we cannot see. So if we can work from that point, a state of mind and being where you're the most authentic and powerful self in any given moment, right? Another meaning that I put to the word freedom is if you're in the constant state of love, because the world right now looks the way that it looks because we are not our most authentic selves, and our most authentic selves is love, because that's who we are at the core and the essence of our being, right? In South Africa, we have a lot of people that make lots and lots of money, but their bank accounts are still empty, or their lives are not reflecting what how much they make. We have a lot of children that can't afford to go to the best schools. And even if they do, they get to university, they don't have jobs because of what's happening right now in the world. And it's not just about that, it's deeper than that. It is a spiritual thing that's happening right now in the world. And that is because we are all living in fear. We're living in fear, and that means we are not free mentally, we're not free in our hearts, we are not free in our spirits, and that's why we find ourselves where we are. So what we can do to move away from that, or to have a better experience of our freedom, is especially to the young people, young people that are around my age, or, a lot of the times when I coach people, or when I coach young people, like I said before, that I work with them internally so that their external lives reflect a powerful and inspired reality, right? A reality that reflects who they are inside. So you cannot want to have an external life that is, flashy and, but inside you are still in a cage mentally, right? So what we can do as young people today is to really go back to who we really are, especially as African people. We're in South Africa right now, and I'd like to believe that this is actually the cradle of humankind, that this is where humanity began. And if we can go back to that, to the things that were practiced, before colonization happened in Africa, if we can go back to that and understand the things that were practiced and why they were practiced and who we were before all of this mess happened, it would really take us a long way. And to be always authentic as who we are. Number one, have a vision for your life. Have a vision, right? But another thing is that you cannot know what you want if you do not know who you are. So this is why I say you have to go back to who you really are at the core of your being. Where do you come from? Because all of that, where you're supposed to go, where that's going to lead you, the core of it all is who you actually are. Because you have in this lifetime, you have a journey that was set out for you to follow, to walk on, but you will not know that if you do not know who you are. So that's where you have to start. Know who you are, have a vision. Because if you know who you are, a vision will pull you forward, right? So this is to the young people like myself, right? Have a vision, have an intention for your life. Every day when you wake up, have an intention. Know that today my intention is to A, B, and C, and D, right? And if you can also incorporate a life mission for your life. My life mission, for example, is to contribute to the healing, the evolution, and the liberation of young people in Africa. That's my life mission. And every day I make it a point to do something that will contribute to the fulfillment of this life mission. So what is your life mission? Think about that. Think about what my life mission is. Is it to serve? And who are you serving, right? Who are you serving? Are you serving people that are like you, people, your community? Who are you serving? What do you do? Because your job cannot be the only thing that you do, because there is a difference between your job and the work that you do in the world, right? And the work that you do in the world is the most important. And that doesn't mean you have to be on a huge platform, you know, serving thousands and, you know, hundreds and thousands of people. But just the little bit that you can do, and maybe start in your family, right? What can you do? What is it that you can do that will be able to move you forward in your life? And then another thing, so I just made notes here. Yes, like I said, what is the vision that you hold for your life? So have a vision, have an intention, have a life mission for your life. That is the most important one, because that will pull you forward every day. You don't just do things just because it looks nice. You don't, I did not just get onto this, you know, this platform just because I had something to say. My intention, my mission is to contribute to the evolution, the liberation, and the healing of young people, especially young Black queer people. And this is why I agreed to be on this space. So what is your life mission? What do you say yes to? What do you say no to? That's how you take up space in your life. You don't just take up space in the world without taking space in your life, because everything that is external began in the internal. So that's where you have to begin. So take up space in your life. How do you take up space? You know, what are your goals? What are your life goals? What are your values? Do you live up to your values, to the values that you hold as a person? Do you live up to the morals that you, your morals that you have, or that you were taught, or that you were brought up with? Do you live up to that? That, all of that will pull you to where you're meant to be. Not just the studying, not, although that is very important, right? But not just that. Have a vision, be intentional with everything that you do, have a life mission. And what is my last point? I forgot my last point. But yeah, you have to be clear, because, sorry, you have to be clear about who you are, because if you're not clear about who you are, you will not be clear about what you want. So yeah, that's all from me. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. It was a genuine pleasure. I found what you'd said very interesting and very powerful. To paraphrase just a bit here, that part where you said fear in a sense produces the products of desperation that create even more fear. So it becomes this kind of self-feeding cycle when we live in that fear, because that fear then creates more conditions of fear. And just to counteract that love creates the products of hope and inspiration, that when we live in that love, when we're doing things out of love, when we move by love, we are creating more environments of hope and inspiration that keep us moving. And that's very powerful stuff. And I would really like our audience to keep that with them. Now we are joined by Itumeleng. It's a pleasure to finally have you. Could you please just introduce yourself real quick, and then I'll hand it over to you.
Okay, my name is Itumeleng Muleya. I'm the Director of Projects and Outreach. I'm also a member of the BRICS Business Council, actually one of the youngest members of that council. And I'm actually a social impact, you know, person. I love and dwell on social impact.
Oh, that's great stuff to hear. It is a genuine pleasure to have you. Would you mind just adding onto the topic here?
Yes. So, okay. Sorry about that. Let me mute my phone here. So, as it says, as the sun rises over the vast continent of Africa, so too does the spirit of its people. For the centuries, Africans have shown resilience, strength in the face of adversity, drawn in inspiration from cultural heritage and wisdom of their ancestors. Today, we continue to learn from teachings of our forefathers, seeking to build a better future for ourselves and the generations to come. An African quote says, until lions have their own historians, tales of the hand shall always glorify the hand. That's the African proverb. In explaining this proverb, it says, it speaks to the importance of documenting and sharing history from all perspectives, not just from the winner's perspective. It always says the winner shall decide what history is written, you know. So in many cases, the stories we hear about in a particular event or time period, we are told from a perspective of those in power, you know, often to glorify their actions, downplaying the experience of the marginalized groups. And it's important to seek out diverse and, you know, other perspectives in issues and voices to gain more of an accurate and nuanced understanding of history. In the context of South Africa, this cause is particularly relevant as a country, you know, as it grapples with the legacy of apartheid, you know, ongoing struggles of social and economic justice in our country. To achieve true freedom, what I call true freedom, it is essential that we voice and all experiences of all South Africa, especially those that have been historically marginalized and are heard and are also valued. In order to enjoy this true freedom, the youth in South Africa must play a crucial role in shaping out our country, you know, especially our future. This includes advocating for policies. You know, we cannot be a youth that always complains on social networks and Twitter accounts. I'm a very pro-anti such advocates because they don't do any impact, you know. Our politicians look at those things and tomorrow they go to sleep and wake up like nothing has happened. So we need to have policies that address the root causes of poverty, unemployment, of inequality, you know, such things as access to actually what we call quality education. Because today in the morning, I was actually watching, they were reporting that, you know, grade ones don't even know ABCD. You know, they cannot know ABCD until Z. You know, I was very shocked about that. So it also gives us a question of what is the state of higher of the quality of education we have in our own country. So access to quality education and job opportunities, it also means actively being involved in the civic life. You know, as some of us, we are pro social impact. We want to be social drivers. You know, I believe that young people in South Africa should participate in the civic movement. Whatever that, you know, merges with you, like the previous speaker said, you know, about your life mission, you know, just associate yourself with what, you know, what meets with your own standards, you know. So from voting in elections to engaging in community activism, organizing, by working together and staying true to the value of equality and justice, the youth can help to build South Africa that embodies the spirit of freedom and democracy.
Thank you so much.
Should I continue?
Oh no, that was very, very powerful stuff. I mean, I'm kind of motivated by we need to advocate for real change beyond just our keyboards, beyond just our tweets. And that real change does come from engaging with communities and being actively involved. And I know that it's very tempting for us to kind of lean into a kind of a government support reliance. There is, and then to almost lambast the peoples who need to kind of use those facilities. We can't deny that basic education needs to be like better, right? We do need better basic education, and it is very disappointing to hear the statistic you just read to us. I think before we go on to the Q&A section, I'd like to just open up the floor for any other points that you guys want to address, maybe talk to each other about certain things.
Okay. In my own view, is freedom is a state of being able to act, you know, to speak and think without any external restrictions or limitations. It is a fundamental right of every individual to exercise their own free will, to make choices that determine their own course of life, you know. However, for many people around the world, including those in Africa, one thing I would like to emphasize on is, for me, there's no freedom in our country, because I'm speaking from the point of unemployment and poverty itself, you know, has created barriers, you know, that stops us from actually enjoying what we call this true freedom, the freedom that is written, you know, enshrined in our constitution and policies that exist, you know, those fairy tale things that are written there, you know. Unemployment and poverty deny many individuals opportunities to fully exercise their freedom. This is by limiting their choices and opportunities. You know, I would like to maybe someone can dispute this. Someone who does not have access to information somewhere in a rural area, where even access to electricity is a problem, how would that person know that you can study actual science in UCT? You know, maybe that person, yeah. That person, you know, those courses are, for me, the STEM courses are what we call, you know, courses that can better your life. You know, just that's just an example, you know. So in the absence of freedom, there's no Freedom Day to celebrate. I think we shouldn't even celebrate this day. It is difficult for individuals to achieve their full potential or contribute anything meaningfully to society or their own communities. This is a sad reality for many people, you know.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Very true. That in the economic prisons that some people find themselves in, without that economic freedom, the opportunity to realize their full potential just does not exist. They do not have that chance. And we as people can't really call ourselves free until that economic prison has been abolished, so to speak.
Yes, because there's another African proverb that says, when there's no enemy within, the enemies outside cannot hurt you, you know. This means that it is important to address internal challenges that are facing us, especially we youth. We must have this dialogues or whatever that we can call them, where we can actually discuss our internal challenges, you know, what poverty does, what unemployment does. It's very ridiculous that NFSAs pay so much every year, but when you look after you graduate, most young people cannot even find jobs. You know, NFSAs does not question those universities that it funds every year to say, why are you teaching a student a course whereby maybe two or three people needs to get jobs for those things? You know, so we need to actually have an opportunity to exercise this freedom by actually engaging with one another so that we can build a better future for ourselves and our families mostly.
Yeah, that is definitely true. So guys, if you are ready to enter into the Q&A section, I'd like to just real quick go over some of these questions. Oh, okay. I just got word that we do not actually have any live questions. It has been an honest pleasure having you all here. If there's anything you'd like to say before signing off, the floor is yours. Let's start with Theophilus.
I actually don't have anything else to add, but what I'd like to encourage everyone is, during this time that we're in these most uncertain times that we're in, looking at all the things that are happening, like I said before, I just want to encourage everyone to just every day at least find at least 5 minutes to just be still. Just be still, 5 minutes, just to be still. And just listen. And that is the most powerful thing that you can ever do for yourself. That's the most smartest thing you can ever do for yourself, and the most powerful thing that you can ever do for yourself. Every day before you start your day, just take 5 minutes to yourself to just be still and just listen. before you talk to anyone, before you open, before you use your phone, before you let the freedom start in your mind or within yourself, before you try to take up space in the world, because that will not turn out for you, turn out well for you. So let it start within, take up space within yourself, just be by yourself for at least 5 minutes a day, and then gradually increase that to 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes per day. That will just, I promise you, your life will change. So that's all I want to share. That's a tool that I'd like to share with everyone too, of how you can take up space in your life first before you take up space in the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Tawani, any closing remarks?
Thanks, Murulang. In closing, I would just like to regurgitate the work that has been shared in this forum today. So firstly, it's for every one of us to find our own passion and look at what we love to do, or what we will, or what will make us happy as we do that specific task. And in doing so, we will find ourselves doing something that will not bring pressure or stress to us, but increase the passion and the drive to succeed in whatever we do. So something that I always believe is that we cannot blame our parents for the way we are brought up, but we can blame the environment that we were raised in. So a person is an outcome of the spaces or the environment they are raised in, because what you see on a daily basis will influence what is in your mind and the outcomes of your life. Therefore, in that environment, you must find opportunities to take from society and build something that will enhance your life and also give back to the society that influenced you in that positive light. So in closing, I would just like to add to that remark of us to find our own vision and personal mission that we will strive towards, and then look at opportunities that are available out there surrounding our vision and the mission. There are multiple streams that we can move into: the private sector, government sector, and the civil society spaces. We can all move in those directions and find opportunities where we can succeed and excel in life. So any opportunities that may not be available at your specific environment does not necessarily mean you are closed off for benefiting from those opportunities. It is our will to move outside of our comfort zone and meet other people who will then influence our thoughts, our mind, and the way we see the world, that will enable us to grasp other opportunities and move into bigger spaces. And as I had mentioned earlier, that Freedom Day was the fight, the first step when Nelson Mandela and his group of people fought for us to get the opportunity. For the past 30 years, we've had the opportunities. Now it is up to us to take the opportunity forward and break the barriers that separate the African continent. And while breaking those barriers, we pull up all other disenfranchised communities and people that we know are in the youth demographic, because we are the future of the continent, and this future has to determine the future of the next generation, as our future was determined by the generations before us. Thank you very much, Chair, and the platform, as well as the partners we've had here today for their enlightening input, and enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Our chairperson, I would like to disagree with what our brother Tobani said, some of his points, you know. Some of our circumstances shape us to be who we are. For me, I believe no circumstance shapes you to be something you are. For me, all circumstances, you know, actually are just sort of a sharpening tool that will determine where you go. There's always a choice in everything you do. There's a choice to go to the right or left, or go to the front or face it forward. So for me, it's about what you choose, the choices you make, that will determine who you are to be, to be who you are in the future. But in my closing remarks, actually, there are some points that I made, actually. I don't know if I'm allowed to say, but one thing for me is, if we really want to have to dominate in the future as young people, you know, young people need to play an active role in shaping up the future. It cannot be that, you know, we complain and not do anything. You know, young people must recognize that we have the power to effect change in society and come together and work towards a common goal. In 1976, the youth have done it. You know, why can't we do it ourselves today? You know, firstly, we must prioritize some key factors. For me, that is education and skills. We need to prioritize that, you know. Education is a key of unlocking opportunities, you know, and breaking the cycle of poverty. If we like it or not, in South Africa, it's very different. It's not like in America, where we have a fully fledged capital system. South Africa is a capital and social system. You know, it's capital when you have money in your pocket. It's a social when you are in poverty. You know, secondly, the youth needs to actively engage in political processes. I'm not going to lie to you. If young people today do not actually participate in this, you know, especially the likes of voting in elections, participating in IDP meetings, you know, participating in how this election officials, our councillors, are held to account, you know, we must demand transparency and accountability. Young people must go and demand their own voice in these municipalities, in our legislatures, you know, because the sadness about all of these things is there are opportunities for the youth in government. Government is if you are starting up as a young person, government is your likely to be your first partner in anything. It's your first go-to. And we need to admit that government is our first, you know, go-to
Most definitely. And unfortunately, we are running out of time today. So I'm going to have to wrap up now. It has honestly been a pleasure speaking to the three of you guys. I wish you all the best weekend. And it has been a pleasure having you. Thanks for watching, guys. And hopefully we'll catch you at the next information session. Bye.
And breathes in our bodies, unleashed as dancing breath, air and life loving itself in defiance of death. Freedom matters, free like deep belly laughter spilling from children's teeth, from Robben Island to Limpopo, the sound of joy taking flight and filling the streets. Freedom matters, loud like vuvuzela, like mirupa, like the roar of a million or more as our national team score. Freedom, wild like stampedes across Kukuza, like stretches of savannah, like unstoppable Cape winds and those homegrown high-felt thunderstorms. Freedom. Finally, like 25 years ago, a day of long queues and heavy hopes, marking X on the ballot was how this great democracy was born. Freedom wise, like saving for a rainy day, like changing our minds, valuing growth and learning from our mistakes. Freedom matters, beautiful, like this piece of earth we call home for me and you and you and you, each one human in all of our hues. Freedom matters, true, like the blood in our veins that runs red, green, black, white, yellow, and blue. Freedom to be, freedom to do, freedom to love, freedom to move. Freedom to continue.